WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A senior U.S. Navy official tells ABC News that an underwater detection system heard what was likely the implosion of the Titan submersible Sunday and immediately relayed that to the Coast Guard. Rear Admiral John Mauger confirming debris from the sub has been found near the Titanic, but they won't say if they'll search for the bodies of the five presumed dead.
The debris is consistent with a catastrophic implosion of the vessel. And so we'll continue to work and continue to search the area down there. But I don't have an answer for prospects at this time.
Federal judge in New York imposed a protective order over evidence in the case against Congressman George Santos. Penn DOT says temporary lanes of I-95 in Philadelphia will reopen tomorrow. A section of the interstate bridge collapsed almost 2 weeks ago. This is ABC News. Former Texas Congressman Will Hurd is joining the crowded Republican primary for president. Hurd was the House's only black Republican during his final 2 years in office. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court ruled the Navajo Nation cannot sue to force the federal government to help expand the reservation's access to water when resources are in short supply. Drag performers are more likely to be targets of violent attacks in the U.S. than anywhere else in the world.
It's a growing threat against the LGBTQ plus community and drag performers in particular. A report from the Institute for Strategic Dialogue revealing from January to May of this year, there were 97 incidents of anti-drag protests, threats, and violence. That's nearly 20 per month, up from 15 per month in the previous 7 months of 2022. And the violence has expanded beyond traditional LGBTQ plus groups, now involving white supremacists, parents' rights activists, anti-vaxxers, and Christian nationalists. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Andy Field, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Two people are facing dozens of charges after authorities said nearly 200 goats were found dead at a farm in southwestern Wisconsin. The Lafayette County Sheriff's Office said that Kyle and Stephanie Lincecum starved the herd and that there had been no flowing water for weeks. Sheriff Reg Gill told WKOW-TV that he brought a veterinarian to the scene to find out what had happened. According to court documents, the couple kept money from selling some of the goats, which they didn't have the authority to do. A total amount was about $37,000. The latest U.S. drought monitor shows that most of western Wisconsin is in drought, with the lower Wisconsin River Valley in severe drought, the entire state considered abnormally dry, according to the USDA. Also, wildfire danger remains high in northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin, and the entire state is under an air quality advisory due to unhealthy levels of ozone. And today is the start of Country Fest in Kidat. Organizers are expecting a record crowd of 100,000 people this year to see headliners including John Party, Dan and Shay, and the Zac Brown Band. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & GTWLawyers.com.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk. Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On Wednesday, June 21st, stop by Michael Park for a free concert. You can listen to Corey Medina and Brothers Blues Band. They perform live at 6 p.m. On Thursday, the 22nd, stop over at Threshing Table Farm from 4 until 6 p.m. Enjoy farming after 5. On June 25th, join East Emmanuel Lutheran Church Ladies of the Labyrinth as they host a summer tea party from 2 until 4 p.m. Make a reservation today and enjoy some great food, entertainment, and make sure to bring your craziest hat. And on June 26th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meeting at 7 o'clock at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome.
If you have an event you like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Think Tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Not sure if you saw the news today. But the submarine, they... not going to happen. And look, the weird thing is they knew from the beginning. Evidently, the Navy heard the implosion, which sounded kind of like a kid walking down the street stepping on a tin can, because that's what happens when you send a tin can thousands of feet underwater. The pressure, once it begins to crumble, there's no stopping, and it is, well, it's immediate. And look, the weird thing is this is another one of these moments where we look at our billionaire class and go, maybe they're not as smart as we think they are. This is what happens when you go into crushing open water, ocean depths in a basically a propane tank that you bought from Home Depot, controlled by a controller from the dollar store. Now I'm not trying to make light of these people's demise, but the arrogance of this kind of billionaire, rich person, adventure tourism is interesting. Now, for me, the part, you know, I spent all day, you know, glued to the different news channels talking about, you know, the latest this, and they got people who participated in this. And let me tell you, reality over the next several days, weeks, months, years, because there's going to be lawsuits, lots of them. This is what deregulation gets you. We're now starting to hear stories of, well, we knew it was unsafe. We knew that, you know, this was a bad idea. We're now starting to hear, you know, former workers coming out and saying, well, you know, this. And as I said, you know, we've now got a front row seat to see that our billionaires aren't as smart as we've propped them up. In fact, there was one guy that they brought on the F channel, who evidently was scheduled to be on it, but, you know, somehow got off because he said, and if you listen to the interview, goes, look, you know, I went and I saw the thing and I'm going, you know, you basically piece this together. You know, sure, maybe the Xbox controller was going to be good enough, but, you know, wouldn't you want something a little more substantial? Wouldn't you want something, oh, I don't know, that at least looks professional? Some redundancies in the system, some stuff like this. Now, we don't know what happened, but I got to tell you, as someone who was a diver, when you get down to the kind of depths that they were pursuing, the pressure. And on something that really, it looked like a, you know, one of those propane tanks you see outside of a trailer in a trailer park. It looked like a bunch of people just fit in that, and let's see how far we can go down in. Until it eventually just, well, collapsed. And this again is one of these moments where you go, why would you put yourself in that situation? Now, when they were showing the video from years ago, I'm looking at it going, no, you're not going to catch me in a tin can, you know, going thousands of feet underwater. No, thanks. That's not going to happen. And I come back to the regulation part, because it didn't matter which channel was airing this. The people that were talking about it were going, look, there were corners that were being cut. There were things here that, you know, they didn't pursue certain certifications. They didn't pursue certain, test certifications at different depths. There's a whole bunch of questions here. And I bring this back as a moment of going, you know, we've got a fetish in this country right now, especially on the political right, of, you know, let it be the Wild West. You know, if you're dumb enough to jump into the tin can and go down there, well, that's on you. And look, it is. Part of me goes, you know, fine. If you want to, you know, go down into the, you know, 12,000 feet underwater in, you know, what is really just a tin can, that's on you. But here's the thing. Think of all of the people involved in this search and rescue. Think of all of the people, all of the resources, all of the things that went after this. And there's part of me that goes, I don't know that happens if these aren't rich people. If there's not a billionaire on board, if these are just scientists, let's move along. But these are people of resource who pushed and pushed. So for me, there's part of that. Now, the lesson out of this is, you know, maybe this industry will be regulated. Maybe adventure tourism will begin to be regulated and we'll start to put some guardrails on. For instance, you know, I had someone send me today that if I wanted to take my wife on a Michelin star meal adventure, an adventure of the stars, for just $130,000, me and the wife, well, 260 with the two of us, we could go up in a balloon, 15 miles in the air in a balloon, and have dinner. And I'm going, why would I want to do that? Well, it's the view. You're special. You're, again, this adventure tourism. We can do these things. And, you know, again, I come back to, because maybe you can, should you? And look, I have, and you know, take this however you're going to about me personally. I have no sympathy for folks who do this stuff. I have no sympathy for people who put themselves needlessly in harm's way. Take unnecessary risks, because that's not something working people are able to do. So these people were able to pony up $250,000 for a seat in a tin can. Maybe they should have had something better to do. Just curious what your thoughts are. I've had a couple of conversations where I've had people tell me, no, Rick, you're just being mean. You know, there's no jokes here. And there aren't jokes here. Someone said to me, maybe he should have pulled himself up by his bootstraps. And I'm going, that's not funny. People died in this. And I go back to, it's that cutting corners. It's that deregulation. It's that let the market decide mentality. But again, who could have been harmed in all of this? Think of all the working people who were out there searching for these folks. For me, that's where this all goes. And we're in a moment where this is just the beginning of this kind of stuff. For me, deregulation takes on much bigger meanings and puts us much greater risk. For instance, I watched all day long. It was all day, and I'm sure you did too, breathlessly as we were waiting to find out what they found. We're waiting on a press conference. We're waiting for someone to say, well, we found the debris field. We waited to find this. Do you know what else was going on today that got virtually no attention whatsoever? Did you know there was a NTSB hearing in East Palestine, Ohio today? It's going to go today and tomorrow. Asking the question, gee, why did you blow up those five tanker cars? When what we now know probably didn't have to. That got almost no coverage whatsoever. A little blurb in the Washington Post and the New York Times I caught. I watched some of the hearings. And it's one of these things where, again, as I'm watching this NTSB hearing, because that's what I do, my mind is in this place of, again, this kind of this deregulated environment, this regulations, when they do exist, only benefit the rich and the powerful and corporate interests. And the NTSB thing is a perfect example. They blew these cars just to get it out of the way and get things moving, get those tracks back up and running. We can't wait much longer. And the way that they laid out the timeline really, really points to Norfolk Southern just going, you know, we don't have time for this nonsense. Let's just blow it up and get moving. But it got no coverage on the mainstream media. I didn't see much about it. Did you? And this is a situation that affects a lot of people, a lot of working people, a lot of poor working people, a lot of poor working people who I would guarantee in East Palestine, I guarantee there are a lot of yards who have propane tanks that look almost exactly like the thing that they sunk down to go down to the Titanic that someone paid $250,000 to sit inside. The difference is our media structure. The difference is our all of our attention apparatus goes after the wealthy and screw the poor working person. So for me, as I'm looking at this thing in East Palestine, going, that should have been the headline. That should have been the front page news. That should have been what we should have been covering all day. But no. Treacher at the high seas. Breaking. The Navy heard it when it happened and didn't bother telling us. So lots of fun. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Some interesting Trump stuff on the other side. Another meltdown. I wonder why. What could it be that would send Donald Trump into a tizzy on this day? We'll find out when we come back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Donald Trump went on a Truth Social rant. The radical left investigations of me now, federal, state, and city are a scam. and a continuation tightly coordinated with each jurisdiction and run by now fully exposed as being corrupt and shameless DOJ and FBI. The boxes hoax. It's now the boxes hoax. It's not that he had a whole bunch of boxes with classified documents shoved in a bathroom. No, it's now a hoax. The pictures you saw of the boxes, that's a hoax. It's the boxes hoax, of course. But the boxes hoax, where I come under the Non-Criminal Presidential Records Act and have done nothing wrong, has exposed Biden, who is not protected by the PRA because he was not president. He has literally thousands of boxes, numerous in Chinatown, and containing really bad stuff. And you go, wow, okay, well, you got that out, you got that rant. Then another one, right on the heels of that. Congress will hopefully now look into the ever-continuing witch hunts and election interference against me. Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. Oh, I'm the victim. Oh, let me get my V card out. Oh, woe is me. This, remember, this guy's brand. He's a winner. He's the winner, always. He says, where I have no doubt that information is being secretly planted by the scoundrels in charge. The perfect phone calls, Atlanta. Really? I heard the one. Sounded like you were telling him to go find some votes for you. He says, the illegal DOJ, Pomerantz, Manhattan DA hoax, another set of hoax, huh? Where virtually everyone agrees there's no case, and the New York SAG scam, where I have proven beyond a doubt that there is no case, but still hostile judge, blah, 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 blah. And then again, back into a now all caps. Congress, please investigate the political witch hunts against me, currently being brought by the corrupt DOJ and FBI, who are totally out of control. This continuing saga is retribution against me for winning, and even more importantly to them, election interference regarding 2024 presidential election. It will be their updated form of rigging our most important election. And you go, well, why would he be going on this rant now? Why is this a thing? What got Donald up early in the morning and ranting and raving? What is it? What could it possibly be that made him actually tweet out three very long, rambling tweets with lots of capital letters? What could it be? Could it be that his lawyers have finally seen all of the discovery? Could it be that his lawyers have gone, oh, they really have a case. Oh, this is ironclad. Oh, this is bad. This is going to be hard to, defend, even for the stupid, even for the people who bought the t-shirt and are wearing it on their heads like a do-rag. This is bad stuff. They actually evidently have the grand jury testimony of his co-defendant, this Walt Nyatz, which I've been wondering why they didn't plead him out. I gotta imagine the grand jury testimony, not good. And this is one of those things where you go, will the Republican Party eventually throw him to the wayside? Now, look, he keeps saying that, you know, Biden wants him out because, you know, he's the only one who can beat Biden. Nonsense. I think Biden, personally, and I'm gonna get a lot of people mad at me, I think Biden, the only person Biden can beat right now is Trump, because people are so in the camps. I look at Trump as someone who has to be beaten. I want him to be the nominee, and I think Democrats do too. So this narrative that the winner Trump is throwing out there, I think is setting him up for an exit. I think he's setting himself up to be able to go, I need to take care of my business first. There's part of me that goes, there's no sane reason for him to go on these rants like this, knowing that there's so much out there. Now, as has been said a number of times by actual lawyers who know what they're doing, I'm just someone who, you know, I follow good advice, which is, you know, the best advice my grandfather ever gave me, was you have the right to remain silent. You should use that. You should use that a lot. And this is what I would tell Trump. Dude, you've got the right to remain silent. You've got the right to not incriminate yourself, which it seems every day you're doing a pretty good job of. Now, what's interesting is still to this day, I mean, the polling is still showing that the people who bought the hats and the shirts and the MAGA crowd still not getting the gravity. I think Trump's coming around to understanding just how bad it is for him. Because he's not really, he's being charged for actual crimes. That things that if you and I would have done, we'd already be under the jail. There would have been not a year of kid gloves and cartwheels and gymnastics to, oh, pretty please, can you give them back? Look, the institution of the Department of Justice and the FBI, they want to leave sleeping dogs lie. They don't want to have to go and fight all this stuff. Makes them look bad. Especially with the law and order crowd who's talking about defunding the police, the FBI, the DOJ. So I gotta wonder what the next couple of days are going to bring us. Because the more that Jack Smith hands over to them, the more that Trump's legal team realizes how screwed they are, the more I see the cornered rat striking out. The more I see him lashing out and it get the rhetoric getting worse. And I think, look, in the coming days, if you start seeing more of this and it getting much more pointed, especially with the dim in the House, you know it's bad. You know it's bad. So when Lauren Boebert and her clan decide, hey, we're gonna move articles of impeachment, we don't really know why. Not quite sure why we're going to impeach Joe Biden, but I'm going to move my articles of impeachment, which was tried today and, well, sent to the Judiciary and the Homeland Security Committees, which is going to die in the committee, which, aw, poor Lauren Boebert. She got called a little female dog by Marjorie Three Names for nothing, because Marjorie Three Names has got her impeachment bill. And there's this race to try and see who's going to be able to impeach Biden for no real reason. And I love how Biden's been handling it. Just ignoring it. Let the children play. Let the people who are void of any real ideas dig themselves the deepest hole possible. Because stop and think about if we really needed to get something done. Do you see the Boeberts and the Greens and the Gateses and all of the Scott Perrys of the world getting anything done? Do you see these people actually having an agenda worth pursuing? It's all a sideshow. It's all reality TV. It would be laughable if it weren't so destructive. It would be hysterical if it weren't this wonderful thing that we have, this ability of self-governance. This ability to rule ourselves by representative democracy, if it weren't such an incredible thing that's being destroyed right before our very eyes because of these people that, it was put to me today that, the Boebert green thing was what you see in a trailer park. It's the kind of nonsense you get with people fighting in a trailer park. And I'm going, yeah, I get that. But at least in the trailer park, they get something accomplished. There's something done. These are people who actually work for a living. I've got more respect for the people in the trailer park because there's some resolution. These two idiots are just causing trouble and stirring things up just for attention. It's not about making the country better. It's not about him holding a Biden accountable. It's not about any of that. It's about retribution and attention. It's about someone didn't breastfeed them as children. That's all I can come up. Maybe drop them on their heads. And yes, that's a PSA for breastfeeding. Yes, hold your children, love your children, treat them well, raise them properly so we don't have these kind of people in our government. Best PSA I can get. Those two right there. Those two right there are, again, another example of why we need better. Look, anyone can be a parent. You need a license to get a dog. Anyone can be a parent. And evidently. Oh, Rick, you're being so mean. Seriously, is anything positive coming out of our House of Representatives? Is there any legislation that they're going to move that's going to help us deal with the problems that are coming in the future? And we've got real big problems. There are things going to happen that are going to harm our economy and harm the working class of this country that are being completely ignored because, well, they need their pound of flesh. They need their moment of attention. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. You miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. Gonna take a quick break. When we come back, our good friend Sarah Burris is going to be here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1999. That was the day 5,000 textile workers at 6 Fieldcrest Cannon Mills in North Carolina began voting for representation by the Union of Needle Trades Industrial and Textile Employees, better known as UNITE. The victory, later validated by the NLRB, was a significant win for labor in the anti-union South. The union's organizing director, Bruce Rauner, stated, quote, "It feels like we just organized GM. Suddenly, we've got a beacon to show other textile workers that they can do it." Labor historian Leon Fink noted that, quote, "It's a stunning victory for the union. It's the biggest breakthrough in a traditional Southern industry for probably the last quarter century." Then AFL-CIO President John Sweeney remarked that it was the largest union victory in a Southern textile mill in history. The election and victory came after 25 years of struggle and 4 previous attempts to organize at Fieldcrest Cannon Mills. Many noted that the young immigrant workforce made the difference. Conditions had been worsening at the mills. Workers fed up with production line speed up, punitive decreases in piecework premiums, and company harassment were compelled to vote union. One worker stated that he and many others were sick of lies management told to keep workers from voting yes in previous elections. Supervisors routinely intimidated workers to vote no with promises of higher wages, or when that failed, threats of deportation. Workers were barraged with various forms of anti-union propaganda. They found anti-union videos mailed to their homes. Some were paid extra to distribute vote no t-shirts on the shop floor. The company finally recognized the union and negotiated a first contract that guaranteed higher wages, pensions, and other benefits.
Years ago, a Texas lawmaker got caught using his official position to enrich himself by taking money from special interests in exchange for voting their way. The culprit did not deem this as corrupt, but just the normal ethic of an enterprising business transaction. "I seen my chances," he explained, "and I took 'em." This is the Clarence Thomas Code of Ethics. As has been widely reported, this Supreme Court judge, who reliably rules for corporate supremacy over the people's interests, has secretly been on the take for years from a billionaire corporate right-winger. Real estate tycoon Harlan Crow, an extremist activist for plutocratic government, has been lavishing millions of dollars worth of luxury vacations, private jet travel, family housing and educational payments, and other gratuities on Thomas. Yet, this supposedly supreme lawyer says he detected no whiff of bribery, nor did he see any need to inform us commoners of it. He simply seen his chances and took 'em. But Thomas knew damn well that it was improper, corrupting, and disgusting. After all, during the last 3 decades, he has consistently voted for court rulings to make such obvious graft legal. For example, he's voted again and again to drain common sense from our anti-corruption laws, declaring that it is legal for a corporation to keep a public official on private retainer, that it's okay for political officials to sell access to their offices, that the appearance of corruption is not corrupt, and directly relevant to Harlan Crow, Thomas voted that it is technically not bribery to try influencing public officials by bestowing a series of gifts to them over time. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it seems to you like the system is rigged to favor the powerful, there you have it. Clarence Thomas is both the rigger and the beneficiary of the system.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I find it interesting that Billy Baldwin tweeted out today. This is one of those things where, you know, it shines a whole new light on things. He tweeted, Robert Kennedy Jr. told me on several occasions that he contracted hepatitis C from my father-in-law, John Phillips, when they shared needles shooting heroin together back in the 70s. He said, I find that to be disturbing, unsettling, and impossible to prove because in his very next breath, he told us that, quote, shared needles with junkies in shooting galleries up in Harlem on many occasions. And now he's an anti-vaxxer. Now he's in there with the Moms for Liberty. Yeah. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day, our good friend Sarah Burris. She's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website where you find all the news, information, and entertainment you could possibly grab. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, happy Thursday.
So, what do you think of this? RFK, I didn't know he was a heroin addict.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because we talk about like what could possibly have happened in his brain
to make him.
Right. And the thing is like once you use a lot of these drugs, particularly for a while, like it takes a really, really long time to get out of your system. And it does lasting damage, particularly when you talk about heroin. Like that was my stepbrother's drug of choice after he became addicted to opioids. It takes a year of being clean. If you can stay clean for a year, you have a 60% greater chance of survival.
Wow.
Than if you didn't. And so, you know,
I can't verify this is true, but I did look and there are numerous stories of RFK Jr. saying that he had his drug problems, and it makes a lot of sense on how you then get him where he is today. It is what it is. Got to get your thoughts on the tin can. The propane tank from Home Depot, they thought they could take down to the Titanic with the dollar store controller. Any thoughts?
So, my favorite comment today came from Dan Crenshaw, who is blaming Joe Biden for the tin can. I know, right? You're surprised.
Hold on. How do you blame Biden for this?
Right? Because that was my question. I was like, hold up. Let me understand this. It took him 2 hours. Once they got underwater, 2 hours, and the tin can imploded. And in that 2 hours, Joe Biden was supposed to leave the White House, sail 900 miles to this spot, and then dive down 13,000 feet and pull these people up by the strength of his what? You know, old man ice cream arms? Like, come on.
No, and the weird thing here is, Sarah, is we now find out that the Navy actually heard it implode when it happened. So this whole last couple of days, all of this you know, breathtaking breaking news and holding for this press conference or that was all for naught. They knew that the kid was walking down the street and stepped on the tin can and they were all crushed because that's what happened. You're a diver. You know you go down deep enough, the pressure is just going to crumple you like a tin can, especially if you're going down in what looks like a propane tank.
I know, like that's the thing that I mean, my dad and I were talking about this because it's just like, dude, just imagine the pressure on you.
Yeah.
And I think I heard somebody say that it was something like 4 times the Eiffel Tower falling on you. Like that is just inconceivable, the amount of pressure. I have issues clearing my ears at like 30 feet. So I can't even imagine what this would be like. And probably my favorite interview that I heard today was Josh Gates, who is the Expedition Unknown guy that I have like the craziest crush on. Like, how do you not, right? And Josh Gates knows the people who built the thing, and he chose not to go down with it because he didn't feel like the tech was really there. And his point was that at the point that he thought about going down to the Titanic and doing this whole thing, there was really nothing else to compare it to. The kind of, I guess he called it, it was like a polymer. It was like a combination of different fiberglasses and metals had never really been tested at that depth before.
Right.
And so even though I think they've done a couple of these trips, what other folks have said is that they've had a bunch of problems every single time. So I just, and it just all seems like a really bad idea to me. I don't know.
Arrogance. I mean, the arrogance of our billionaire class. And look, I have no sympathy. If you were dumb enough to get in that tin can and shoot your behind down there, that's on you. But for me, I look at the fact that we've spent so much resource. You got a congressman blaming the president for not doing something. We sent the Navy. We sent the Coast Guard. We sent Canada, sent people. This was a global thing. Yet there was a hearing today in East Palestine, Ohio, about a train derailment where they blew up chemicals that are going to probably poison people for decades. That didn't get a peep.
Yeah. And I think, too, like the whole, there's been this whole conversation about, you know, the comparison between this and like MH370. And I mean, at the very least, the MH370 people didn't opt to like jump in the water, right? To crash the plane. And so it is this idea that news has just been taken over by banality simply because it's something that can distract us from the sadness and depression that is Donald Trump's, you know, craziness and
all roads and lead back to Trump, don't they?
Right. It's just like somebody needs something to talk about, and that's not Donald Trump. And I just don't understand why this is it.
Well, what got people's attention is a billionaire. If it were you or me in that tin can, they'd be mocking us incessantly. And for me, the reality is this: the lesson out of this is all the deregulation fetish people need to shut up. These people died because there were no regulations.
And that was one of the things that some of the other sub people have talked about, is they're so scared that this is going to destroy, you know, the submersible community of people. And the guy said, you know, all of those companies that are doing it the right way and complying with all of the regulations, they're going to get a bad rap now. And it's just like, oh, that sucks, right? Like, and the idea of exploration, like, I'm all for exploration. I think it's amazing. And some of the documentaries that Nat Geo has done where they filmed the Titanic, unbelievable. There is a fine line between fetishizing, you know, exploration for your own billionaire self purposes and legitimately funding something that matters.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Listen to the Rick Smith Show with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. You got questions, comments, something on your mind, I want to hear it. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Want to get to Congress.
Why?
I got to bring up the trailer park fight from yesterday.
Oh, my God, right?
You had Gun Fetish Barbie and Marjorie Three Names kind of going at it. One called the other one a little female dog. The other one had her little impeachment, you know, things sent to committee. Any thoughts?
So somebody on MSNBC, I heard, compare it to Real Housewives of Capitol Hill. And I was like, this is just the most disgusting thing in the world. Like, as if the Real Housewives series isn't already disgusting, but this idea that now we have turned one of the most sacred institutions of the American government into nothing more than some reality TV nonsense is just, it's horrific. And then they voted to censure Adam Schiff because Trump is still mad at him. And you're just like, wow, this happened under Congress.
Yeah. And Schiff couldn't have paid for better PR. Schiff couldn't have paid them to do that. I mean, honestly, if I'm Adam Schiff, I'm sending, they're now, all of them are on my Christmas card list, because he's been, I don't know about you, but my email box and my cell phone's been blowing up with people going, hey, this is Adam Schiff. I got censored. Send me money.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I mean, really, of all of the people who, there were like, what, like five different attorneys that were members of Congress who were on this impeachment team, and somehow it's just Adam Schiff that Trump is furious at. And so that whole thing just seems like that is pettiness creeping in from Donald Trump's, you know, own emptiness inside.
But is it inevitable that they're going to impeach Trump, do you think? Or, I mean, impeach Biden, do you think? Do you think that there's so much momentum on the Republican side that they have to get their pound of flesh? Because you got Boebert, she's got hers. You got Marjorie Three Names, evidently's got one. Evidently, Comer's talking about potentially something in that. The Kentucky Congressman Comer's talking about something in that way. Do you think this is inevitable that they have to? It doesn't matter what for. It just has to happen.
Well, it's really important that you know that Marjorie Three Names had the first one. I mean, that is clearly the most important piece of this week, is that she wanted everybody to know, I filed the first articles of impeachment and all y'all are copying off of me. But what was interesting is when Boebert pushed the vote on this, they basically sent it back to two different committees where it will probably never be seen again.
Yeah.
And Republicans were freaked out about it because they don't want to be on the record for this. And I honestly think it's the best possible thing that could happen to Joe Biden, is, you know, basically taking a legitimate impeachment for Donald Trump, and they're trying to now expunge it. Like, that was the thing that Green and Elise Stefanik got together on today. And at the same time, then they're going to impeach Joe Biden because what, they think he wore a bad tie or something that day?
Yeah, I come back to this moment where my mind always goes, I wish they would use a portion of the energy they put into this sideshow, to this circus, in actually doing something that's going to move the country forward, that's actually going to be positive, creating jobs, rebuilding infrastructure, whatever it is. I don't care. You know, planting flowers in the ellipse. I don't care. Something positive that could come out of it. Just all of the energy that they're expending. I know that's a pipe dream. I know it's never going to happen. But there's part of me that goes, I wish it were possible.
Right. Make tulips great again. Ted Lieu made a similar comment where he was like, you know, this is basically the perfect example of a do nothing Congress. They can't get anything passed. And it's not necessarily because they are inefficient. It's just that they disagree with each other so much that there's nothing that they could agree on to actually pass, even whenever it comes to articles of impeachment. So, and, you know, I think it's just, I mean, we talk about it would be nice if they achieved something, but these are the people that you don't really want to achieve anything. So it's like, six one, half dozen the other, right?
Yeah. Now, I read the Truth Socials today by Trump. I talked about him earlier. He had his little meltdown. And, you know, all of the hoax stuff, evidently the boxes are, it's now boxes hoax or box hoax. That's a new hoax. Really? I there are pictures of the box. I mean, literally, I don't know how you wipe away the boxes, but that's a hoax now too.
Everything is a hoax, which is hilarious because I'm pretty sure he's admitted how many times now. Yes, I had the documents. They were mine. They're all mine. These are my documents. Yeah. And it's just like over and over he said that. Now they're like, it's a hoax. No collusion, witch hunt, perfect call.
No, I like the defense on Brett Baer. You know, there, yeah, sure, there was classified documents in there, but it was in boxes with my stuff, and of course, my stuff's more important. What do you want me to give you my stuff?
And that was like the weirdest. I mean, somebody described him as a hoarder. He sounded like an old man hoarder,
huh?
Where he just like pushed all of his golf shirts and stuff in with a bunch of classified documents, and you're like, what?
Who, no, I said,
what?
See, I said from the beginning that this is about his ego. I said he took all that stuff just so he could have, he is a hoarder. I mean, you look what I got, so he could show off to people. And now we're finding that out. He could potentially end up in jail for being a hoarder.
Right. And I think realistically what probably is happening is exactly like what you say. The fear, and I think where the spin could come in, is saying it's entirely possible that he was trying to sell this stuff to somebody. And folks want to see that investigated, ensure that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think, I really do think that the whole purpose is just to be like, hey, did you see these classified folders I got?
Yeah, look what I got. No, see, I'm going to be in the minority and say I don't think he was trying to sell them. I think it was purely about ego. I mean, if you remember at the beginning of his administration, you know, there was the meeting with Abe. And mm-hmm. You know, where they had classified documents just laying around a ballroom. You know, it was one of those things where you go, he was so derelict in duty and so so casual with this stuff that it was just, you know, look what I got. Look at how important I am. That's my view. It's always been my view of him.
And what has been funny to watch him do in coming up with his new excuse, which was, I was busy. Like, I was too busy to sort through all of the stuff and pick out the classified documents for my golf shirts. And it it just begs the question, what were you too busy doing in the final days of your term in office? Oh, that's right. You were protesting the 2020 election and trying to maintain your power and then trying to stage a coup at the United States Capitol. That's right. You were very busy.
Well, we're going to find out. Finally, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of states are going after. We've heard a lot about election fraud. We've heard, all the fake election stuff going on. It turns out that Michigan, Dana Nessel's going after some people who, did some hanky stuff on gubernatorial candidate forums. Also Colorado going after some folks who did some fake signature stuff. Seems like the people are pointing the finger going, oh, there's all this fraud going on. Seems like they're the ones doing it.
That's the crazy part of all of this, is that all of the voter fraud that we saw after the 2020 election, it turns out a bunch of it came from Republicans. All those folks down in the villages in Florida were voting illegally. Mark Meadows was trying to file an absentee ballot in two states, which he got away with. Nobody did anything about that. And so it just seems like the reason that they're pointing fingers at Democrats is that they're the ones who are actually doing it.
Yep. I mean, well, isn't that how it usually works out? The person who's accusing you of doing stuff is actually doing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And that has been the case. I keep seeing this happen over and over and over and over again. Like, it stopped being funny for a while. I was like, oh, that's cute. Like, they really are blaming us for that. No, they are coming up with these ideas to accuse Democrats of because they're actually doing it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. But Sarah, as always, I appreciate the time, the insight. Thanks so much for the work you do. Good stuff over there at Raw Story. Hope folks will take a look at the website, rawstory.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks. My pleasure. Have an awesome weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Remember, check out the website, rawstory.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1969. That was the day that the Cuyahoga River, which winds its way through Cleveland, Ohio, caught on fire. Cleveland was once the sixth largest city in the nation. During the early 20th century, the city had a booming steel industry. Clevelander John D. Rockefeller made the city a leader in oil refining. But after World War II, industries left strong Union cities like Cleveland and Detroit. These jobs moved south and overseas, where wealthy industrialists could exploit workers in markets with weak labor protections. As a result, Cleveland fell on hard times. During the 1960s, the city lost 150,000 residents. As jobs left town, so did the workers. The once proud factories that lined the banks of the Cuyahoga River had brought jobs to the city, but they also pumped pollution into the waterway. When a passing train put off sparks, the river oozing with oil and debris caught fire. It was not the first time that the river ignited. Time magazine posted dramatic photos of the burning river, although the photos were actually from an earlier blaze. The pictures helped to fuel the growing environmental movement. They gave momentum to the passage of the Clean Water Act. The Cuyahoga was not the only urban river impacted by industry. The Time article described how, quote, Omaha's meat packers filled the Missouri River with animal grease balls as big as oranges. Today, one of Cleveland's breweries sells a popular Burning River Pale Ale. The Burning River is part of the history and the folklore of the city.
The known big river, the known. Burn on, big river.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Well, shocking. Evidently, Samuel Alito. Another Sam Alito story. Evidently, there's been a trip to Rome, I guess, funded by a religious group that had briefs filed before the Supreme Court. I know, shocking. Shocking! That our conservative justices are cashing in. And look, it's the whole incestuous pool of what's happened with money and politics. And look, the organizing on the right, you got to give them credit. They built organizations to do exactly what we're finding out about only years later. For those of us who have been paying attention, this is not new. It's not news. It's not surprising. It's not shocking. It's not breaking. It's how it's been. This isn't new. It's finally someone now cares. They've built these incestuous institutions for just this. It's the same thing with the C Street people. They know what they're doing. They're grooming people from the day they get into college all the way through till they retire from the Supreme Court. They got them. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are you?
Totally insane.
What's on your mind?
I see you're feeling better. That's a good thing.
I am feeling better. And for all the people who wished me ill, blank you.
Yep. Hey, they should remember karma has a way of coming back around.
There you go.
What I wanted to say was, and this goes along with what you were saying, you know, for years, and this is the problem, for the past, and I'm going to say since the 70s, the early 70s, we've watched while the right wing has lost their mind. And we've all just kind of shrugged and gone, oh, well, you know, to each their own. And they've come off with all these outlandish ideas and conspiracy theories. And again, we've just shrugged. And when I say we, I mean, as a nation, the saner ones of us. We've just kind of shrugged and grinned and shook our heads. And as we've done that, they've gotten braver and bolder. And then we end up with Trump trying to do an insurrection, all the Q nonsense and all the idiots in Congress and all of the stuff going on with the Supreme Court. And now everybody goes, oh, gee, wait a minute. You know what? Maybe we should have been paying attention. Yeah.
I hope we're at that point.
As usual, being too tolerant has led to those who are intolerant gaining authority. So it is what it is. Have a good evening.
There you go. I agree with you, Alice. Good point. But you know, the thing is you look at this level of corruption, and this is what this is. This is corruption. It's legalized corruption. They've made sure that there are no ethics violations. They've made sure that they don't have to report this stuff. Whereas if you're the janitor, you work in the kitchen at the Capitol, you've got all kinds of restrictions. You've got all kinds of rules and regulations that you have. But our elite... And what I find interesting about Alito's comments yesterday in his pre-buttle to the ProPublica piece of, well, you know, the seat was going to be empty anyway. I was just doing them a favor. I was doing them a favor by filling that seat, by having, you know, my gas cloud in that seat, which is arrogant beyond belief. But it's how these people think. And that somehow that we little people, shouldn't be looking to our Supreme Court as people who follow the rules without question, because they're the ones who are setting them. But the level of corruption here is mind-blowing. And look, I look at Trump and all of the corruption that came around him and the chaos that comes around him as one form. That's idiotic stuff. The fact that he didn't give this the classified documents back is just beyond stupid. I mean, you got to call it what it is. It's just stupid. And anyone who would want a stupid president like that is needs help. I mean, that tactically was a moronic thing to do. But the other side of this is the longer term corruption, the kind of stuff that happens in the smoke-filled back rooms, the kind of stuff that happens in these think tanks, all of this stuff, you know, moneyed interest, the billionaire class who have been funding these think tanks for decades. They know what they're getting. They know what the quid pro quo is. They know that they're putting someone reliable on the court. So no, was there a, hey, judge, I'm going to take you on this trip and you're going to do this for me and we're going to write out this contract that's going to be the quid pro quo, that you're going to do this for this. That doesn't happen. They know that the person they've put on the court is bought and paid for because they've been paying for them for decades. They've been grooming them for decades. They've been shaping their ideological thoughts and putting them through a grinder of tests and compromises.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.